this is interesting. For instance, in connection with the horses we were referring to a moment ago, in most parts of Europe, well, virtually everywhere in Europe, horses eat oats, but in most parts of Europe, people don't. They do in Brittany and they do in Scotland, of course, but in most parts of the world, or most parts of the European world anyway, people don't eat oats. Now, if I've decided that I'm going to have a horse for my tractor, I have to grow that tractor's fuel someplace. Well, if I give over my estate, or a substantial part of my estate, to growing the fuel for my horse tractor, well, then what's the fuel for me? You see? Well, if I'm dividing up my agricultural regime in such a way that I can set aside a certain amount of land to grow oats to feed my horses, then I have other land that I can use to grow crops that I will use to support myself and my family, that I may be able to sell excess. If I can produce excess, I can sell in local markets. And from the crops that I'm able to sell, I can make money with which to buy other kinds of things. So, with a lot more land under the plow, a much greater variety of crops, greater insurance against individual seasons of bad weather, we also see accompanying all of that a growing tendency to agricultural specialization. People in particular regions understood perhaps very well how to grow certain crops, let's say in areas of Europe where grapevines are tended, all right? Viticulture is a complex and sophisticated operation. Some people do this. Other places, cereal grains are particularly cultivated. Well, this produces a situation where if a given region is going to concentrate on particular kinds of crops, then obviously those regions are going to rely on other regions and rely on trade to get them the things that they do not themselves produce. And in turn, they have to be able to move the things that they do produce to other places. This then starts to require improved roads. It begins to require improved transport vehicles in order to move more goods farther and faster. So again, the use of horses as draft animals pulling wagons. They can pull heavier loads. They can pull those loads farther. We begin to see the use of large four-wheeled wagons. Very interesting manuscript pictures sometimes depict these for us. The use of large four-wheeled wagons instead of two-wheeled carts, so that a great deal more can be moved sort of in one truck, if you like. This then, of course, can provide for increasingly far-flung urban markets. We'll turn and talk about cities in just a few minutes. But the point that I'm emphasizing at the moment is that cities are in some ways parasitical on the land around them. That is to say, they don't grow their own food. As cities get larger and larger, they're going to need more and more food. That food is then going to have to come from farther and farther and farther away. So a great deal of this agricultural productivity out in the countryside that we've been talking about also permits the growth of cities, the growth of urbanization. Now, we notice also that both the church and also secular government worked to protect trade, worked to protect traders. Agricultural specialization was indeed one important impetus to trade, but there were others, as we'll see in just a moment. Growing prosperity, more money at people's disposal, a desire to have more and more products, increasingly through movements like the Crusades and so on, becoming familiar with exotic products from other parts of the world that one wished to have, either because they brought pleasure or because they brought a certain kind of prestige, a certain cachet attached to having spices on one's table, for example, that sort of thing. So in any case, the point is that in one way or another, there is a kind of a mini transport revolution in the High Middle Ages, you see, which also folds into this whole set of processes that I've been alluding to. And if you've been sort of thinking along with me here, you're noticing that all of these things are yet more of these qualitative indices of this rising population. You see, is this all inferential? Yes. But it seems to me that the train of inferences is a pretty sound one. Now, trade was facilitated, to come back to the subject of trade, by a number of things. There were fairs, for example. Fairs in the Champagne region of France, for example, which were perhaps the most famous ones. A series of fairs held over many months of the year, not in the dead of winter, but over many of the other months of the year, that moved around from town to town in the Champagne region. Merchants from the south of Europe came north. Merchants from the north of Europe came south.